conversation about it and, you know, find out where the gaps are so that they can be closed. All right, well, that's it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. Support for WGTD comes from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, offering a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. Work as a licensed professional counselor or a mental health and wellness advocate. Details online at uwp.edu. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of education leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Mangi and Troy McDonald for Gateway Radio, WGTD 91.1 HD. Our program is Education Matters, and we sincerely appreciate and thank you, our listeners, throughout southeastern Wisconsin for tuning in to us. And we thank Troy and Dave Cole and Dave McGrath and Russ and, of course, President Brian Albrecht for this opportunity. So today's message, today's program, is dedicated to the graduating class of 2020. All of the seniors at area high schools, Kenosha, Racine, Lake Geneva, Alcorn, and college seniors at Gateway, UW-Parkside, and Carthage, we're looking at graduation ceremonies because of the pandemic possibly occurring in July or virtually online. So we thought it would be appropriate to share a few motivational thoughts and stories to honor all of the wonderful students throughout southeastern Wisconsin who will be graduating this coming June or July. Seniors, we acknowledge what you are going through right now with the coronavirus pandemic. It's a challenging time, unfair, and extremely difficult. Those of you who are athletes have lost out on your baseball and softball seasons, track, soccer, golf, musicians can't play, theater students can't perform. The fact that everyone is going through this all over the planet doesn't make it any easier for you. We would recommend that you not let this pandemic define your 4 years of high school or college. Everyone should have a stable of positive memories of your high school career, middle school, elementary school years to draw from. Write a thank you note to some of your former teachers and principals, someone who had a positive word for you, who gave you and add a girl or add a boy along the way. There is a website dedicated by two Chicago area teens called COVIDTV.com, who have been blogging about empathy and loneliness, panic attacks and gratitude, having trouble sleeping. So this is the focus of the wonderful article in Sunday Chicago Tribune, written by one of my favorite journalists, Heidi Stevens. Students Lauren Tapper and Christina Duda are just trying to give teenagers a sense of independence and a voice in laws and regulations that continue to silo people in our country. Our advice is to continue to be future-focused, continue to build connections with as many people of different cultures as you can, young people just like you all over the world, to try to come up with solutions and ideas to attack not just this pandemic, but also the many challenges in the future. So we put together some motivational thoughts and stories that might help each and every one of you get through this and help you with your future plans. Class of 2020, we've got your back. We love you. So here we go. First, take the time to thank your parents, your guardians, your family, your friends, your teachers, your principals, some of your bosses, and we thought this was appropriate. There have been times when you didn't have any time, and yet you took the time. There have been times when you had enough cares of your own, and yet you cared. There have been times when you had given all that you had to give, and yet you kept on giving. Thank you for making a difference in the life of another human being. You are a gift to humanity. So seniors, be sure you take the time to thank your parents, your teachers, those in your life who have gotten you to this point. Our life is a journey that sometimes leads us through rough places, like right now. But the walk is so much easier when we travel beside one another. That way we can reach out and find help when we need someone to lean on. It doesn't matter whose turn it might be or how much time it takes until the path becomes smooth again. All that does matter is that we're always there for each other and that we'll keep walking side by side into the future. Always be that someone to lean on. Your fellow classmates, your family, your community, our world needs you more than ever, now and into the future. You, the class of 2020, each and every one of you, you are loved right here, right now. The world is already a better place because you're here, you're in it. There will be turbulence now and then. There will be unexpected events. There will be human error. There will be sadness and hurt. There will be ice cream disasters, but you will survive. You will grow. You will keep going. You will make a difference. You will be an amazing person. You are already. You will be the reason someone smiles today. Thanks for being you. That's from the author and poet Mo Williams. There is an Ethiopian proverb that says, when spider webs unite, they can tie up a lion. So here's my first story. This is an actual event that occurred in Seattle. So here we go. At an elementary school athletic competition held in Seattle a few years ago, 9 contestants lined up for the 100-yard dash. All 9 students began running when the starter's pistol sounded. But one little boy stumbled and fell to the ground, hurting his knee. The other 8 students heard the boy crying behind them, and then something amazing happened. The 8 slowed down, turned around, saw their fellow student on the ground, and they ran back to him. Every one of those students ran back to that little boy. One little girl bent down and kissed the boy on the forehead and said, "This will make it better." The boy then got up, and he and the rest of the runners linked their arms together, and they all joyfully walked arm in arm to the finish line. They all finished the race at the same time, together. When they crossed the finish line, the people in the stadium were stunned for a moment, but then they all stood up and clapped and whistled and cheered for a long, long time. People who were present that Saturday afternoon are still talking about that special moment. They may be still cheering today. And we all know why. Because deep down we know that what really matters in this life is much more than winning for ourselves. What really matters is helping our brothers and sisters succeed, even if it means slowing down and changing our course every now and then. Those elementary school students in Seattle got it right. No exercise is better for the human heart than reaching down and lifting someone up. So believe in yourself and believe in each other, then go out and make a difference in this world. There will always be problems. There will always be challenges like right now, but challenges can bring opportunities. They can bring us together to create solutions. They give us a chance to help each other, to make a difference, to become real brothers and sisters. All we need is a chance. Story 2. One of my heroes growing up was Wilma Rudolph, the famous Olympic track star from the very first Olympic Games ever televised, the Rome Olympics, 1960. In that Olympics, Wilma Rudolph won 3 gold medals in 3 different track and field events, the first time in history that anyone had ever accomplished this feat. Miss Rudolph was called the fastest woman in the world and became an international star and a positive role model for millions of young people. This story becomes even more impressive because Wilma Rudolph contracted polio and scarlet fever when she was 4. Her doctor said she would never walk again. Her mother said she would. Wilma believed her mother. By middle school, she got rid of her braces. By high school, she was excelling on the track team. By age 20, she's at the Rome Olympics, winning 3 gold medals. The morals of the story are several. First, always believe your mother. Your mom knows best. Always believe in yourself. Set high goals. Keep learning. Follow your dreams. You gotta have a dream. Follow your heart. Practice peace wherever you go and be a great friend. I believe this story was the foundation for the famous movie Forrest Gump with Tom Hanks. This was Wilma Rudolph's story. Okay. There is a famous statue and monument in Ireland. It's called the Kindred Spirits Monument. It's in Cork County. It's called also the Silver Feathers Monument. The Irish town has erected this monument to thank the Native Americans, the Choctaw Nation, for helping them survive during the famous Irish potato famine back in the 1840s. It commemorates the 1847 donation by the Native American Choctaw people to the Irish famine relief, despite the Choctaw people being living in hardship and poverty and having recently endured the Trail of Tears. 9 silver feathers in a bowl shape representing a bowl of food. The Trail of Tears was a forced relocation of 60,000 Native Americans from their ancestral homelands in southeastern U.S., specifically Georgia and Florida, to areas west of the Mississippi. It was called the Indian Removal Act of 1830. The Cherokee Nation was forced to leave in 1838. At least 4,000 Native Americans died along the way due to starvation, disease, and exposure. It was called the famous Trail of Tears. So here we are, a few years later, somehow, some way, members of the Choctaw Nation travel all the way across the U.S., across the Atlantic to Ireland. They had heard about the famine in Ireland, and they bring $700, which in today's money is probably thousands and thousands. $700 back in 1847 was a lot of money. They donated it to the people of Cork County. Imagine that. That should be in our history books, but it's a true story. So today, the Kindred Spirits Movement honors what the Cherokee Nation did way back in the 1840s. So in times of difficulty, there are some quotes that I would like to share. Believe in yourself, and there will come a day when others will have no choice but to believe in you. Believe in yourself, even if no one else will. Understand that you will learn some things best in calm and some in storm. No one would have ever crossed the ocean if he or she had gotten off the ship in the middle of the storm. Always remember that you can't have a rosy future when your mind is full of blues of the past. If you let your past control your present, you'll never have a future. Life is not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. Keep putting one foot in front of the other, even if you have to limp to do it. And nobody's going to rain on my parade, especially me. Story number three. In the year 1989, the Berlin Wall, known as the Iron Curtain, which separated East and West Germany and kept East Germans from seeking asylum and freedom of speech and basic human rights, came tumbling down. As the workers began to dismantle the wall brick by brick, reporters, journalists, the thousands of people who were watching this historic event heard a song being sung. Some of the workers sang it, some of them hummed it. It wasn't the German national anthem or a folk song of Berlin. It was the song, We Shall Overcome, the song of Dr. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, John Lewis, all of the freedom fighters of America in the 1960s. Same year, 1989, across the world, Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China. Thousands of students came together in that square to fight for democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, equal rights. That event became famously known as the Tiananmen Massacre. During the protests, there was a song being sung. Yep, you guessed it. Wasn't the Chinese national anthem. It was the song, We Shall Overcome Someday. Again, just as it had been sung at the Berlin Wall. A few years later, in 1994, in the country of South Africa, Nelson Mandela was released from prison after 27 years. In a multiracial national election, Nelson Mandela ran for the presidency of his country, and he won, defeating apartheid and bringing the country together. United his people using the word Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U. It means I am because we are. Again, for the third time, the song being sung and hummed throughout was We Shall Overcome Someday, the song of Martin Luther King, Louis Armstrong, Mahalia Jackson, Joan Baez, Pete Seeger, Diana Ross, Peter Paul and Mary, all of the freedom and civil rights era singers of the 1950s and 60s. You can go to YouTube and pick out any one of them and be motivated and understand We Shall Overcome survives today. The world looks to America for leadership, for role models, for creativity, ingenuity, resilience, teamwork, respecting diversity, for displaying true grit. So you, the class of 2020, are our future leaders. This is your challenge. It is your legacy. As Oprah has often said, I believe in the future. I believe in you. The future is so bright, it burns my eyes. We shall overcome. Here are the lyrics. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. You can hum along with me if you want. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe. We shall overcome someday. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. The song of Martin Luther King. All the freedom fighters of the 50s and 60s. It holds true today. So, story number four. We talked about Nelson Mandela, one of my personal heroes. Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U. Two former Marquette University classmates chance to meet years after they graduate. One happens to be Doc Rivers. At the time, he's head coach of the Boston Celtics professional basketball team. I believe now he's coach of the L.A. Clippers. The other is Stephanie Russell. Stephanie Russell is the director of Marquette's Office of Mission and Identity. The two graduates have a conversation after a Marquette alumni board meeting, whereupon Stephanie Russell excitedly tells Doc Rivers about her experience with the word Ubuntu, which means I am because we are. The word Ubuntu served as the rallying cry for South African battling apartheid, voiced by Nelson Mandela and also Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The core concept of Ubuntu is, I can't be all that I want to be unless you are all that you can be. Nelson Mandela and Archbishop Tutu use this phrase over and over again to unite the divided country of South Africa. Doc Rivers, at the time, had inherited a mediocre basketball team full of aging veterans and untested rookies who had never won a championship. He needed a motto. He needed a rallying cry to unite his players. He founded it in Ubuntu, I am because we are. Every time there was a timeout, Doc Rivers gathered his players together on the court. They shouted out this word Ubuntu. Other teams didn't know what they were talking about, but they were curious. Coach Rivers' players bought into the concept immediately, began playing unselfishly, passing the ball, encouraging and supporting one another, playing as a real team. This team of aging veterans and untested rookies played spectacularly and went on to win the 2008 NBA championship. To this day, the words, I am because we are, remain the rallying cry of basketball teams throughout the NBA, and in fact, people around the world. Doc Rivers couldn't thank his former classmate, Stephanie Russell, enough. Two graduates, Marquette University class of 1983, bonded together forever, helping each other in the only way classmates can. So, everybody, this is Joe Manji and Troy McDonald, and we're here for Education Matters. This is Gateway's radio station, WGTD 91.1 HD. And thank you so much for tuning in. Our program today is to show admiration and thanks to the graduating class of 2020. We really appreciate what you've done and what you're going to do in the future. So here we go. It's indeed a privilege and an honor to be able to share some thoughts with you. A few years ago, a young poet, only 13 years old, by the name of Maddie Stepanek, facing the challenge of a rare and fatal neuromuscular disease, wrote a series of poems with the help of former U.S. President Jimmy Carter. Featured in his book, Just Peace, A Message of Hope, this is one of Maddie's poems. Maybe someday we will all join hands and live together, helping each other and loving each other. Maybe someday we will all make the world a much better place and become a gigantic rushing river of peace, a loving circle that nothing can break. Maybe someday we can start with just one person and one permanent peace agreement within oneself and one's world. Personal peace can then spread within and between families, within and between communities, within and between countries, and just maybe the entire world. Maybe someday we can become as close to perfect as anything and anyone can ever get. Maddie Stepanek. So in the past, we've talked about the term SISU, S-I-S-U. It's a Finnish concept with the country of Finland. It means stoic determination, tenacity of purpose, grit, bravery, resilience, hardiness. It's the national character of the country of Finland. During the Winter War of 1939 and 1940, the Finns persevered in the face of an invasion from the Soviet Union. Their ability to keep fighting after most people would have given up, the Finns beat back the Russians on two fronts. Part of the reason they won, it was one of the coldest winters in history. The Finnish soldiers dressed in all white, head to toe. They even had white face masks on, so the Russians couldn't see them because they blended into the snow. The winter, again, one of the coldest in history. The Finns adapted, the Russians didn't. the Finns, a much smaller country than the mighty Soviet Union, beat back the Russians because of willpower, tenacity, persistency, ongoing fight for freedom and independence. Upper Michigan has a lot of Finnish people. There, you can see the motto, Gatsi Su, all over that area. So it's another example from history, against all odds, of a people banding together and fighting adversity and coming out on top. Martin Luther King says all men are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. Our loyalties must transcend our race, our tribe, our class, our nation, and this means we must develop a world perspective. Everybody is facing the pandemic right now, every single country on the planet. There can be no disappointment where there is not deep love. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? All labor, all the people, all of our health workers, doctors, nurses, everyone in hospitals, all of the people at grocery stores, all of the people at drug stores, everybody who is on the front line, they are the people that uplift humanity and have dignity and importance and should be undertaken with painstaking excellence. Every person must decide whether he or she will walk in the light of creative altruism or the darkness of destructive selfishness. Our lives begin the day to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And finally, from Martin Luther King, even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. You got to have hope. You got to hang in there. You got to keep fighting. So, back when I was graduating from college at Marquette, John F. Kennedy started the Peace Corps in 1960 after he was elected president. His motto to the nation was, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. When he was assassinated in 1963, as many others did, I vowed that I would follow his challenge, so I joined the Peace Corps. After an intensive three-month training at the University of Texas, I was sent to the country of Iran to teach English as a second language. I was sent to a town in the Northwest Province, the only American and the only Christian, for hundreds of miles in any direction. Iran, as you know, is predominantly Muslim. Difficult job. My smallest class was 85 students. One day after teaching, I stopped at a tea house in my town to take a break. I was just sitting there sipping a glass of tea when in walked a really old man. I remember he only had two teeth, one on each side of his mouth. Looked like he was wearing flea-infested clothes, and he looked like a beggar. I didn't want anything to do with him. It was the end of the month. Peace Corps check hadn't come. I didn't have any money. I was tired and didn't want to be bothered. So I just secretly prayed, please, Lord, don't let him come over here. But he saw me, and sure enough, after he got his tea, he comes over, sits down right next to me, and starts a conversation. He asks me who I am. What am I doing in this small town in Iran? I tell him that I'm an American, that I'm a teacher. Manostad hastam, Englishly darsh mid adam darde biristan. I'm an English teacher. Amrikai hastam, gru iso Amrika, antiskor America. He proceeds to teach me a prayer, not in Farsi, the language of Iran, but in Arabic. I have no idea why I memorized that prayer, but he insisted, so I did. It took me several tea house meetings, probably a month. This old man with two teeth, and he came every single day until I got it right. The first phrase goes something like this, Sabakamullah Belkhair Alhamdulillah Akramani Rahim. I had no idea at the time what it meant. I kept wondering, why am I learning this? I'm supposed to be learning Farsi, and I'm teaching English. I'm never going to use this, but I did. never saw the old man again. He kept telling me, Farmush Nakardam, don't forget this. Yadam Naraf, you must remember it. So a few weeks later, coming home from school, I encountered a shocking situation. A lone woman was being chased down the street by a group of angry men, all shouting and threatening her with stones and rocks. And I'm quietly going, run, lady, run. Don't let them catch you. But they did. They caught up with her in the town square, and a mob ensued. She was against the wall, cowering, and the rocks started flying. I thought, I got to do something. This is my town, too. They're going to kill her. I had to do something. So out of the corner of my eye, I saw a taxi cab on the other side of the square. I knew the driver. I ran over to him. This time I had money, emptied my pockets, paid for the whole taxi. I said, look, Zut Bash, there is a hospital in Hamadan, the capital city, Avenue Takhti Jamshid. I have one passenger for you. Take this person there. And I opened the back door. He thought it was for me. I wiggled my way through the mob. They didn't see me coming. I got to the front, and I made a dash, a mad dash to this lady who had already been hurt and was in a fetal position on the ground. I picked her up. She was terrified. I said, look, I'm Rikai Hastam. I'm American. Aziat Nakanam. I'm not going to hurt you. Hoda Hafez Shema. May God protect you forever. I don't know what I said, but I picked her up. And she must have weighed 40 pounds. I've never picked up a human being that was as light and as easy to carry. I was a terrible football player for Marquette High. I think I hold the record for the most fumbles in history. But I didn't fumble this lady, and I had the element of surprise. So I made a mad dash through the mob, bobbing and weaving, pushing my way through, and just running to the back of this taxi, which nobody saw. Put her in the back seat, gave her some money, closed the door, and the driver goes, Mr. Joe, Shema Divan Ahasteed, you're crazy. He closes the door, and he takes off in the direction of Hamadan. Fine, the lady is safe, but I'm not. I turned around, and I'm facing this mob of angry men. I'm a foreigner. What am I doing? What did I just do? And I looked up to the sky and said, Lord, I'm too young to die. I'm only 22 years old. Give me a break. Get me out of this. And then I remembered the prayer that the man with the two teeth, the little old man with fleas that looked like he was 90 years old, had taught me. Saba Kamula Belkhair Alhamdulillah Akramani Rahim. It goes on, but that's what I remember. So I shout this prayer. I don't run, because if you run, it's a sign of that you're guilty. I keep saying this out loud. I open my eyes, and the crowd is dispersing. Rocks and stones are on the ground. Sticks are on the ground. Everybody's moving away. Finally, one of my students comes out of nowhere, grabs me, puts me in a barber shop that was right on the town square, and it's my barber, a little old man with gray hair. Mister, where did you learn that? I said, well, the old man, Mahmoud Mumtaz, at the tea house, he taught me that. I said, mister, that man was a haji. He made the holy pilgrimage to Mecca just like I did. It's a holy prayer. So there you go. In life, you don't know. You have no idea who's out there that can help you in a difficult situation. So please open your hearts and your minds and your eyes to everyone, because people who are 90 years old can save your life. Kids who are 4, 5, and 6 years old can save your life if you give them a chance. Believe in yourself and believe in each other. Then go out and make a difference in our world. There will always be problems. There will always be challenges. But challenges also bring opportunities. They bring us together to create solutions. They give us a chance to help each other to make a difference, to become real brothers and sisters. Amidst all of the trauma in today's world, the coronavirus, the bleak economy, ongoing wars. Someone recently said, it was Oprah Winfrey, I see the future. It's so bright it burns my eyes. Class of 2020, you are that future, and I think it's going to burn very brightly indeed. Okay. Joe Manji and Troy McDonald, WGTD, 91.1 HD for Gateway Radio. We're really happy that you've tuned in today. This is our tribute to the graduating class of 2020. So everybody knows I was a principal at Bradford High School for 18 years and superintendent for a few years, but I came out of retirement a number of times. I flunked retirement, and I'm put at Epsola Elementary, a beautiful, wonderful school with about 900 students in downtown Kenosha. I noticed the first day that there were 8 doors to the school's entrance. As a high school principal, I always made it a habit to be out on the sidewalk in front of school every morning to welcome students into the building. I could see who was coming into school upset or angry and get them the help they needed. There's advice I would like to share. Your goodbyes have to be as strong as your welcomes. So if you're welcoming somebody, you also want to give them a very hearty goodbye. At Epsola, I could see people needing help entering the building. Little kids couldn't reach the door handles, which were too high off the ground. Moms had a toddler in one hand, a baby in the other. Teachers had their hands full of books and supplies. So I became the doorman, holding a door open to help people enter the school. The second day, a first grader named Aisha comes up to me and asks if she could help holding another door open. I said, okay, that would be great. Then she said, if I hold the door open the rest of the week, would you give me a dollar? I said, sure. So she goes, anybody that holds the door can be given a dollar. I said, okay, Aisha. The next morning, there were about 30 kids holding the doors open. Little Aisha was directing traffic and barking out orders. She came up to me and said, Mr. Manji, you owe me $30. My people need to be paid. I didn't know we had entrepreneurship in the first grade. I'm at school 3 days, and I'm out $30. It might have been 50. I then noticed little Aisha looking up at me from her height, ground level up, kind of strangely. She's at my knees. I'm looking down. So what is it now, Aisha? Mr. Principal, you have spiders in your nose. What are you talking about? Well, as guys get older, we get hair where we don't want it, in our nose, on our ears. Aisha had me totally embarrassed. I kept my head down the rest of the day. Teachers were laughing. Hey, Joe, kids got to you, didn't they? I had to go to Walgreens to get some nose clippers. Little kids see us from a different perspective, from ground level up. Sometimes we need to get down where they are to see how they view the world, what it's like down there. What do we see? It's that perspective again, how we view the world and others. It's a way of practicing peace. We all know that successful leaders understand the power of team. Organizations, school districts, everybody knows the leader isn't the boss, but a connector. A teacher building a positive culture with a strong, honest relationship. Strong organizations understand that. Communication accelerates progress. That blame only slows things down. That secrecy is poison. Everybody knows or no one knows that there should be no heroes. We need a hero to get things done if we got problems. Well, I take that back. We do need heroes and heroines today because we do have problems. Happy is important to progress. Humor brings calm and helps us to focus. That we all need to get better every day and measure it. That like little kids with Legos, there's the power in the redo. Or as one Harvard professor talks about it all the time, culture eats strategy for breakfast every time. So ask, who's on our team? Who are our colleagues? Who's in our posse? President Barack Obama had this to say in one of his graduation speeches. You're all living examples of what he said. It's times like the ones we're facing today that force us to try harder and dig deeper. Times like these move us to find greatness that we have inside of us, and in doing so, rediscover the greatness that defines us as a nation. We all have extraordinary implanted somewhere inside of us, just waiting to be released. Have faith in yourself and get out there and conquer the world in your own way at your own time. You can do it. We know you can. Believe in yourself. Set your standards high. You deserve the best. Try for what you want and never settle for less. Believe in yourself, no matter what you choose. Keep a winning attitude and you can never lose. Think about your destination, but don't worry if you stray, because the most important thing is what you've learned along the way. Take all that you've become to be all that you can be. Soar above the clouds and let your dreams set you free. Over and over again, you remind me not to just reach for my dreams, but to live them, breathe them, become them, and little by little, you'll get it done. Finally, as a high school student principal for many years, I would always sit down with students who were in trouble to listen to their stories. I needed to understand from their perspective what was happening. I'd say, look, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to scold you. I'm not even going to give you advice. I'm just going to shut up and listen. Tell me what's going on. One day this young lady said to me, I'm not perfect, Mr. Manji, but parts of me are excellent, and you in this school don't see my excellent parts. It was a real wake-up call for me. But when we at Bradford all started looking at this student with a different lens and focused on her strengths instead of her weaknesses, she started to change, turned her life around, and graduated with honors because we started to change. I learned as a principal to always look for the excellence in students. It's there. It's always there. We just have to find it. You, our students, all have voices. You have stories to tell. We just need to listen. So we need to see you from our lens, a far different perspective than we see ourselves. Again, you can make a difference in this world. This is Troy McDonald and Joe Manji. It's our tribute to the class of 2020. These are challenging times, but you know what? You have the wherewithal. You can do it. Troy believes in you. I believe in you. Have a great May and June, and we wish you Godspeed with all of your endeavors. We know that you can do it. Thank you and God bless. Joe Manji, Troy McDonald, WGTD Gateway Radio, 91.1 HD. Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
WGTD-FM is now available on your smart speaker. Simply say, play WGTD on TuneIn and hear WGTD programming. 24/7 Jazz is also available. Simply ask, play WGTD HD2 on TuneIn. Support comes from Piasecki Funeral Home, thanking everyone for staying safer at home, along with commending our doctors, nurses, EMTs, and other healthcare professionals, as well as the fire department and all law enforcement for their tireless dedication during this time. Piasecki Funeral Home. Support comes from Jack Andrea, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911. They may be closed, but they haven't lost their hometown spirit. Visit jackandrea.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, books, and more. The Aging, Disability, and Resource Center of Kenosha County is providing free and objective information and resources to the community during these uncertain times. Please call 262-605-6646 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares